Hey friends, this is Stems and Leaves, a show where we explore intersectional stories in STEM. I'm the host, Em. We are well into October, and it has been a hot minute since I've shared any content. I actually have a few episodes that have been recorded, a couple interviews, and then just a couple, like, think pieces that are technically ready to upload. But I've been holding off for a bit because I've been feeling like it's time for a rebrand. I think if 2020 has taught us anything, it's that life is short and we should all do the things that make us feel safe and happy and healthy. And as much as this show has been a great benefit to me personally and professionally, it's kind of hard to feel like I have to maintain a professional facade, and, you know, do right by my guests and, you know, be a proper professional when I'm presenting these ideas and these research topics. But it's been a heck of a year. And I'm so grateful for what I've been able to do with this show, but I also want it to be a space where I can talk about the things that are maybe a little more relevant and important to me. You know, beyond a person that is interested in intersectionality and sharing stories of fellow queer and people of color and women and, you know, whatever have you in STEM, I don't think at least shared a ton about myself and what I do. You know, I'm a student of urban planning. I'm also an artist. I love riding my bike and rolling around town on my blades. I love plants and herbs and wildcrafting. I'm a huge nerd about local history. You know, I have a whole life like everyone else. And my plate is so full right now between work and grad school and just being a human person. And I want this podcast and this space to be fulfilling. And I kind of want to get past my own fears about breaking down my professional facade. So I'm going to bring more of myself and my interests to this show. And I don't know what that's going to be like for you as a listener. And just, I hope you hang around and stay curious with me. So I guess now that we've got that sort of awkwardness out of the way, today I want to talk to you guys about a very good book that I recently read. A few weeks ago, I popped into my local bookstore, Prologue Books on High Street here in Columbus for any locals. I picked up a book titled Trauma Stewardship, An Everyday Guide to Caring for Self While Caring for Others. And boy, oh boy, if there was ever a more timely read. And I'll add a caveat right now. I'm not usually a big fan of self-help books. I tend to be skeptical about them, especially because I feel like self-help is just like, I don't know, popular. It's like pop fiction. It's just like, all right, you know, there's real personal change requires a lot of habit and, more importantly, accountability. You know, and a book isn't going to text me in 3 weeks to make sure that I've figured out, you know, the lesson or, you know, made the change. So I'm just going to put that out there. I'm skeptical of self-help books, but this one really, really did something for me. It's written by Laura Vandernoot Lipsky, who is a trauma social worker, and co-authored by Connie Burke, who is a mover and shaker in the anti-violence movement. I picked this up because it's been a hot topic in a lot of my community spaces, that is to say trauma and trauma work. In my classes and sort of in my professional spaces, we've been focusing a lot on what trauma-informed work looks like and how we support communities that are suffering, you know, either from a buildup of individual traumas or some of these, you know, societal and systemic levels of trauma. And so in particular, in urban planning, I feel like, from my perspective, planners and community organizers are becoming a lot more comfortable and more inclined to using, you know, a dignity and trauma-informed approach, which basically means if you're engaging or working with a community that suffers from a trauma such as poor access to food or a lack of health care or inefficient or underfunded public transit, you have to approach with certainly a lot of humility and sensitivity and understanding that there are levels to their experience that you cannot know, but you can be affected by. So as a side note real quick, if you're curious about this work in urban planning, I'd recommend checking out Thrivance Group. It's a group founded by Dr. Destiny Thomas. And several months ago, I had the privilege of moderating a panel with Dr. Thomas and a few other really awesome Black planners working in North America. But I was really struck at the work that Thrivance Group does around trauma-informed and dignity-based community planning. So go ahead and check that out. I'll have a link to that in the description, as usual. But this book, Trauma Stewardship, lays out these ideas in a bit more of a general definition. They go ahead and open the book describing stewardship as the careful and responsible management of something entrusted to one's care. So if you think about trauma work, it's pretty foundational stuff. If we are interacting with people that are being vulnerable with us and working past these traumas, we have to be very gentle and very responsible and very aware of how our actions might influence or harm these people. And so the first few chapters discuss trauma stewardship and why it's important. But the part that I found the most impactful was a section about trauma responses. So for people that work in healthcare, social work, psychology, community care, community advocacy, you know, a whole gamut of fields, there's a thing called a secondary trauma response. And it's a totally normal thing. It's because we are empathetic creatures that connect with each other emotionally. You know, we laugh and cry and grieve and support each other, but it can be personally harmful if you start taking on more than you can handle. And a lot of these trauma responses kind of occur subconsciously. So the book lists 16 symptoms of trauma exposure responses, basically the ways that people react to secondhand trauma. And I'm not going to list them all. I think you should read the book, but the ones that stood out the most to me were the following. Feelings of helplessness or hopelessness, diminished creativity, chronic exhaustion and physical illnesses, guilt, fear, and a numbness to shocking or traumatizing situations. And it was a pretty heavy read through that section of the book, and there were a lot of times that I was like, oh my god, that's me. I can't believe I didn't recognize that. And there's a lot of personal stories and anecdotes in the book that just hit so close to home. And I was recognizing, you know, these trauma responses in myself and in a lot of my friends and people that I'm close to that are doing work with traumatized groups. And especially in this past year, as we've been going through a global pandemic and watching a corrupt justice system continue to function. You know, there's an uprising right now and an impending election, and it's just, God, it's a shit show, guys. It's not comfortable. And kind of looking at it through the perspective that this book presents, you know, there is a lot of secondhand trauma going around. And I think a lot of people maybe are unaware of it, or they are, you know, reacting in maybe not the most effective way, the most healing way. And, you know, in Columbus, this community is really going through it. I put some energy toward that in my last episode. I was talking about Columbus's history with racism and urban planning. I was talking a bit about redlining and what the legacy of that is in this city. And especially after I recorded that episode, I had a few days that I was just like out of it. You know, I just like felt such a tremendous weight of like, I am a student of urban planning. I intend to work in this community after I get done with school. And it's like, how am I as an individual supposed to, where am I going to find the energy and the time and the resources to like overcome and abolish these systems? You know, I think I've definitely, actually, I know that I've been experiencing a lot of secondhand trauma, these past few seasons. And it's a bitch, but recognition is half the battle. And that's what the second half of the book focuses on. So they discuss a lot of self-care techniques that folks can use to manage or at least observe your trauma responses in a more productive way. So that section of the book is like very introspective, and my favorite part of it were all of these journaling prompts. Basically, they walk you through the different dimensions of the work you do, and kind of take you like from the inside out. So like they ask you to sort of identify the work you do and think really critically about the value that brings to your life. And if that's, you know, the thing that you are willing to work past the trauma to continue doing. And then it walks you up to like community level ideas about creating microcultures with people that want to overcome these traumatizing things and, you know, need to align their values and communicate those things and practice stewardship together. They also touch on something that I struggle with a lot, which, as I said, you know, how do I, as an individual person, even contribute to a large-scale systemic change? I just feel so jaded about the systems I'm part of. Academia is bonkers, and public service is bonkers, and sometimes when I take a minute to think about the future, it's like, oh, maybe it's literally just doom and gloom forever, which again is that trauma response of hopelessness. And it's hard to reckon with, but I really appreciate in this book that the authors, Laura and Connie, they really don't bullshit you. There's a very real sense about acknowledging how absolutely terrible it can feel to try and change a system and to reckon with, you know, the trauma that you may or may not endure by continuing to work within it. But it's also, you know, so encouraging about focusing on yourself and the tangible things you can do to, you know, nudge the system toward a better direction, but most importantly, maintaining your own physical, mental, and spiritual health. So I can't recommend this book highly enough. Whether you work in a field that's related to trauma work, or you're just a person with feelings. You know, I didn't think this book was for me initially. Like I said, self-help books tend to be at the bottom of my list. But it was really enlightening and has helped me sort of take a peek inside my own heart about where I want my energy to be and what sort of community I want to build. And most importantly, how I can take real steps to move past some traumas, some personal traumas that I'm still holding on to and might be affecting my work or, you know, the people that are doing that work with me. So just absolutely love this book. Please give it a read. They also have other resources. The authors founded the Trauma Stewardship Institute. So they offer all sorts of educational events based on this stewardship approach. And they offer a pretty good network, to refer to. And one other thing I'll plug from them is a conversation that the authors had recently with Michelle Storms, who is the president of ACLU Washington. And they were talking about trauma stewardship in the context of education and parenting, which is a pretty hot topic right now. You know, schools have been back in session for a couple months now. And whether you're a parent or just someone curious about sort of how this new virtual learning thing is impacting people, it was really interesting. So, great book. I picked it up at my local bookstore, Prologue Books here in Columbus. And if you're interested in reading, please support your local bookstore, or at least avoid Amazon if possible. And if you get a chance to read it, let me know what you thought. I'd really love to open up some other conversations around these topics in the near future. I'm doing a lot of work with my friends and some people close to me, starting sort of a accountability group to discuss this stewardship idea and how we can support each other through the work we do and getting through these traumas together. But enough about the book. Of course, I'm going to link all of these things in the description of the episode. And as some final thank yous, thanks Rosie Ross for the use of our theme song, Feeling Fool, link in the description. And thanks to Aaron Thomas Art for our album art, link also in the description. So, as much as I want to hope that I will kind of find a second wind here and start creating some content that is a little more personally fulfilling, I'm also acutely aware that every single day seems to bring some hot new bullshit around us. So I'll talk to you again when I talk to you. And I hope you're doing well wherever you are in the world. Catch future episodes at stemsandleaves.com, wherever you listen to podcasts. And in the meantime, stay healthy, stay safe. Stay curious. I am feeling fool, riding as a phrase in my stupid profile. It's really down.